This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. You know Amazon Prime is not just a shipping subscription, right? It's got everything, including streaming TV and movies on Prime Video. And of course, Prime's fast, free shipping. Go from watching your favorite shows to getting your favorite things. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Breaking Bad After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Breaking Bad After Show.
Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Bing is for doing it. We are doing another AfterBuzz TV After Show for Breaking Bad Season 5. Episode 11. My lips left for a second. They're back. Episode 11 called Confessions. I'm John Comerford, and I'm joined on the big panel by Tamara Berg.
Hi, everybody.
Kristen Snyder.
Hello.
Matt Lieberman.
Hey.
And helming the booth for us is Marissa Serafini. Thank you, Marissa.
Hello, everyone.
All right. Aaron Paul tweeted out, you're going to poop yourself, and you're going to be happy about it. I don't really want to check, but your overall thoughts. What do we think? Are people pooping?
Shocking episode. Shocking revelations. Big twists and good surprises.
I was stunned, actually. So.
Trigger was pulled that can't be unpulled. Yeah. You know, like the Jesse trigger, against Walt. You can't undo it. There's no way that Walt's going to be able to...
No.
Force him back onto his side.
You don't
at this
think
point.
So? The master manipulator. You don't think he'll bring him back?
No, because they made a point to show that Jesse knows he's being worked and has known for a while.
The first time.
Yeah. No more Walt and Jesse moments. I'm so sad.
Well, let's get into the confession. We obviously know that Walt has got no traction with Hank. They have the big showdown, a summit, so to speak, I guess, in the big taqueria.
With poor Trent.
poor cheerful Trent.
He's not going to get a big tip on this today, I don't think. Does anybody want any tableside guacamole before we continue?
We make it. They're at the table.
He's probably good at cooking meth, though, if he's so good at making this guacamole.
Could be. Meth side.
Tableside meth.
Thank you very much for helping me out on that one. So I thought, first of all, the summit to me was a long time coming. The first time we've really had the four go at each other. I mean, I don't know that we've ever had. Obviously, we've seen them at dinner tables before, but never adversarial, or not like this anyway. So many agendas popping through there. Great time, wasn't it?
Well, it was just so tense because you're sitting there going, holy smokes, these four people are going to actually sit at a table and face each other, and everybody knows what everybody knows, and we're going to all like talk it out here in the taqueria.
That's what I loved. You see all the families around there?
Yeah.
All these families having a good old time.
Margarita?
Exactly. And then the one family that we're dealing with, barely speaking to each other, very hushed tones.
I'll give you a little more time with
him. Oh, yeah. God, it was great.
Yeah.
When they were talking about, you know, what Walt said, you don't want to ruin this family. It's like, what family's left at this point? That's why, you know, Marie's solution possibly wasn't such a terrible one.
Yeah. Hank and Marie's outrage that he's even trying to act like he still cares about this family one bit. You know, like, don't ruin this family. You already ruined this family. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, how can you be the one who speaks? The one who knocks cannot be the one who speaks for this family.
Right.
Well, especially, I loved when Hank says, don't even talk to me about right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You can see all that indignation coming through,
just
pouring.
Boiling over.
It's great.
Love and that. To Skye. And you're not out of this either, or whatever he said to her.
Yeah, you know, the one thing that I didn't think they addressed, Skye obviously has had time to adjust, rationalize all this. Obviously, to Hank and Marie, this is also, you know, raw. They're all
very
raw, very fresh. Not able to comprehend or in any way, you know, how do you assimilate this? How do you deal with this issue? And they only can go fall back to, I'm going to get you. And, you know, and of course, Marie, you lied, and the whole thing's a lie. And, you know, and they feel more betrayed than anything. Well, Marie, so it's really not about the kids for them.
Yeah. Well, Marie told him to kill himself.
Yeah.
She's like, that's the only way that I see this ever being repaired. Just kill yourself. If you really mean what you say, then just die, and then it's all over. Yeah. You know?
I mean, would it all be over?
Well, I mean, I was just by her saying that, how would she repair the relationship with her sister?
Yeah, you can't come
How do you
that.
Come back from, your husband should just kill himself? How do you do, I mean, how does that happen?
No.
How does that work?
No.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
You can't.
So, I mean, the whole thing.
So, I mean, that's the commitment to which Marie is holding. Mm-hmm. You know, you kill yourself, I get your babies, and I write my sister off.
I get your babies.
And that's it. And she's, you know, happy as a clam with the rest of her life. I mean, she really is so committed to.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. You know Amazon Prime is not just a shipping subscription, right? It's got everything, including streaming TV and movies on Prime Video. And of course, Prime's fast, free shipping. Go from watching your favorite shows to getting your favorite things. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
But she thinks is the right way for this to go.
She's also kind of taking over the investigation and, like, telling Hank what to do. That's why last week when I said it was a good idea to tell her, I just feel like she, you know, if anyone, she even says to go show that DVD that we'll talk about later to someone. It's like, I feel like if anyone's going to show the DVD, she might.
You're saying she's a loose cannon?
I think she is.
It's possible. Like, that's always been her personality. Yeah. She feels very, very strongly. And she doesn't really have the greatest moral compass. Like, if you remember back to
her kleptomania days.
Yeah. She does what she thinks is right in the moment. Yeah, she's impulsive.
She tried to steal the baby, tried to lure Junior.
I mean, exactly.
Yeah.
Accepted money that she had no idea where it came from. Really, really, really.
Right.
You know, and then didn't tell Hank. Mm-hmm. And now Hank's sunk.
Yeah.
This $177,000. Final nail in the coffin. He really can't make a move without appearing complicit.
Exactly.
I mean, Hank is just, I feel really bad for him.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, what does the guy do? In fact, before we get into the confession, let's just talk a little bit more about Hank. Because when you see him in his office after it's all been, well, I guess we're going to have to talk about the confession.
Yeah, we have to. I thought it was a brilliant move.
Another amazing manipulation.
It was the one moment where I went, oh!
Yeah. So unexpected. It's the last thing I saw coming.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys a minute think that it was going to be a real confession that he was putting in Hank's hands? You weren't misled at all?
When he was taping it, I thought maybe it was like a last ditch, like, just in case thing. Because that's the thing. In the last episode, the one thing that I didn't understand was Walt said, let me turn myself in and you'll be okay. Because I was like, that's the one thing Walt would never do. So I was confused. I thought maybe he was going back to that. You know, it's just like, just in case, and like calling it back to the pilot in such a beautiful way.
Yeah.
The same camera, the same opening speech. Yeah. But I did not see this coming at all.
I didn't think he'd confess. If he confessed, he wouldn't confess to everything. He obviously wouldn't be honest about everything. I think he would say a bunch of stuff, everything that would not implicate Skyler or his family and all that kind of stuff. But I didn't see him blaming it all on Hank, which is just a stroke of brilliance. I mean, you got it. A master manipulator.
Well,
he's
clearly a master manipulator and someone who thinks about every detail. I mean, we see it in everything that he does. Mm-hmm. And so it was really a brilliant maneuver. I mean, as he's saying it, I'm going, well, tick that problem off and tick that problem off and tick that problem off. And, oh, right, you know.
Well, I remember back when the whole thing happened with $177,000 and Walt paying picking up the tab for that. Mm-hmm. We knew that would come back to be thrown in Hank's face.
Yeah.
We knew that was going to be a huge problem. That would be the albatross around his neck. How is he going to get rid of that? I didn't realize it was going to be wrapped up so tightly in a nice little bow where it clearly, he, you know, Hank's going to be considered the next Gus Fring if this gets out. Go ahead.
Just when they kept going to, like, extreme close-ups of his mouth on the video, I was half expecting a slight smile after the 177,000 because they went right to an extreme close-up, and I just wanted there to be just the briefest little whisper of a smile.
Exactly.
Like, gotcha, you bastard.
We were talking about the video quality earlier, but there was also that, like, red strip on his face whenever they would zoom in.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is, like, you know, reddish, devilish skin.
Right.
Yeah.
Moving along with the production design that they do.
Yeah.
And
you also noticed, go ahead.
Right. When Marie and Hank were watching the video, later,
in the wide.
We were doing the wide, we saw their backs and the television, and up in the upper right-hand corner, there was the piece of art on the wall that was three guys with rifles, you know, clearly kind of depicting that Western, you know,
shoot 'em up, stand off
kind of theme that they've had this season.
I kind of feel like Hank is losing friends. He's skipping meetings. He's skipping work. I mean, could he get fired?
It's possible.
It's possible, but that would be no fun.
Yeah, but I don't
think he'd give up even if he gets, you know.
But like every one of these suspect things that he's doing is just making him look more complicit for whenever this fake confession eventually gets leaked.
But what do you do? That's why I think it's a great place to put him, because what does a guy like that do? He can't talk to anybody. He can't tell Gomi a thing.
The fact that he's alienated Gomi, I think, is his biggest mistake.
Yeah, it is.
Because Gomi's his biggest ally. Yeah. He always has been. Mm-hmm. He'd believe him.
I think he would, but I don't think, you know, like he said, he's so worried that he doesn't have any proof. Now he only has supposition. All the proof looks like it could fall on him. Not proof, but evidence of some sort, or at least insinuation is enough in this regard.
So you think Marie's tactic of you go out and tell him just simply wouldn't work?
No,
Or you think Hank thinks it would?
That's what I think. Hank thinks he needs something concrete. He doesn't trust that what he might say to Gomi, and I think that's an Achilles heel right there.
Right.
I think if he pulled Gomi aside and said, look, I am jammed up. Here's what's going on. He tells him the whole story. I think Gomi might believe him, because Gomi knows the whole Gus Fring thing. Now, of course, if Gomi has any kind of doubt about the whole Gus Fring thing, he can think, well, shoot, that's why you said it was Gus Fring all along, because it was you.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be a problem.
Right.
And Gomi was telling him he needed his guys back and stuff. He's not exactly going light on Hank at the moment.
Absolutely.
So I feel like they are not at a good place in their friendship right now.
But again, that's Hank's fault, because he should have brought him in sooner, probably.
Absolutely.
Because I don't know why he didn't in the beginning, because if you've already proven yourself with the whole Gus Fring story and you were vindicated with that, why wouldn't you, as soon as you knew what was up, why wouldn't you go to Gomi?
It's the shame of it. It's the fact that he was right under his nose. How could he miss it?
I know. I agree with that, because that's the argument I made
last week.
And I bought it last week. And I still buy it, but I'm going, yeah, but even still, wouldn't you bring in Gomi?
Well, you know, there's a certain amount of ego that comes with being in his position in law enforcement. You know, there's first of all, you know, the guys who go into law enforcement, I mean, I'm making a rash generalization, but, you know, they're rule followers. They're people who you know, like to keep things, you know, in boxes and make sure everything's, you know, put away nicely.
And didn't Marie last week call him Lone Wolf McQuaid or something? Wasn't that?
Yes.
Reference?
Yes.
So are we going to see this DVD again in the future?
Oh, yeah. You don't introduce it to never see it again. It's a threat. It's waiting. We don't know where or if there are other copies. There are definitely other copies to be released on Walt's death.
But here's a speculation. Does Walt think it's going to get out? Do you think he always intended it for just to be a threat to Hank, to say, look, okay, I got you, all right, so just back off? Or do you think that, okay, well, if it gets out, that's okay anyway, because I'm going to be dead, and at least my family will be okay?
Well, you know, Skyler's response to, do you really want to do this before he shot it, makes me think that it's not just about the threat to Hank. Because Skyler would, like, probably like we do, think, well, you know what, that's a really clever idea, honey, if you're just going to give it to the brother-in-law.
Yeah.
You know? But I think there's a bigger plan for it because of her reservations and hesitation before it got shot.
Well, it certainly could be in the big old trump card. Is that obviously they have the duplicate and they say, look, okay, we're gonna send it.
It's a failsafe.
Yeah.
It's trying to take Hank out of the equation for at least as long as it takes to get everything else in order.
Yeah.
You know, it just, they think that it effectively neuters Hank's investigation. He's complicit. And that's just one less problem that they have to deal with.
Yeah, and it does. Yeah. I mean, by demonstration. I mean, we saw him completely being neutered about the whole thing.
Stops him cold. Just,
yeah, and he's reading forms of all things in his office.
Budget allocation for different kinds of
sexual
paper.
Sexual harassment.
Just
forms.
Deflated.
Yeah, exactly.
Duplication fluid. What's duplication fluid? I just want to know.
I don't want to know.
It costs $4.70.
Maybe, exactly.
Copy paper.
Maybe so. Maybe toner.
And that's the scene I wanted to talk about because I liked Gomi going in there and confronting him. I also just like the way they shot it because, for me, the way they lit that at the end, the only thing that was lit up nicely were the law books in the background now. So
right.
The whole idea that he's no longer a force for the law because he's been neutered.
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So just stuck there and can't even deal with being there, and that's why he has to leave. In my mind, he couldn't even stand being in that room because he's not at all capable of anything at the moment.
Yeah.
So
he feels like it's just one big farce.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm supposed to be the big boss and I'm here dealing with paperwork when there is a criminal out there.
Yeah.
One of the biggest criminals ever to pass across this precinct.
Yeah.
And there's nothing I can do about it.
Can't even take him down.
Nope.
Right.
Well, all right. Well, that kind of leads us into the Jesse thing. Because we start off with the whole Jesse sequence. Well, from last week, obviously, Hank is going to have his little interrogation with Jesse, or shall we say a discussion, because it turns out to be not so much an interrogation.
Yeah.
So
Jesse's not having it.
I know. I mean, Matt, let's go to you, because I remember as we were watching it, you said something about this particular episode being what for Aaron Paul?
I think this is very much his Emmy episode. Like, it, just to go from being catatonic at the top of the episode and then the look on his face when Hank drops the bomb that he knows. Mm-hmm. And I love this choice of leaving Hank off screen and focus entirely on Jesse as that information passes through him. Mm-hmm. And then he's weighing his options. Hank is starting to get under his skin, mm-hmm. but his hatred for Hank outweighs his conflicted feelings about Walt. And then to see him go to, like, the brink.
Add a berry blast off for your day with the new Berry Pebbles. A berry twist on a classic breakfast. Perfect for giving those growing minds a blast of creativity. With the new Berry Way to Pebbles. Yabba dabba do you with Berry Pebbles. Head to postpebblescereal.com to learn more. Yabba Dabba Doo and the Flintstones and all related characters and elements, copyright and trademark Hanna-Barbera.
Of tears and starts sobbing in the desert as he figures out, you know, that, or he lets Walt know, I know you've been working me forever, stop doing it. Just tell me the truth. Tell me the truth and I'll leave. You never cared. I've always been a pawn. I know that this is the truth. Don't make me care about you because I know that it's fake. And then Walt persisting with that hug, and he just breaks down. And then the sheer manic rage when he discovers what happened with the rice and cigarette. It just the sheer rage, just a brilliant, brilliant, flat out, awesome performance. Like it's just
I agree.
Like I'm just nerding out about it.
I know, I'm enjoying it.
Any voters, please listen.
Yeah,
yeah. So, anything you'd like to add, or are you good?
I mean, that pretty much seals it. But just like in that scene, you know, he's so far gone, and then this bit of information just pulls him back into his humanity for a second.
Which one? Which scene are we talking about?
The interrogation.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
The interrogation, because he's been catatonic since he got that blood money.
Yeah.
You see how little that whole APD investigation
doesn't have any effect on him.
No,
it's not until he says Heisenberg.
Yeah,
and then Hank says, "There's a look."
Yeah,
because that recognition.
When he says, "You know, I know he's my brother-in-law, Walt," and his eyes flick up and then down, is like, "Yeah, that's the look."
Mm-hmm.
And when he says, "You know, I know you want to talk," and then Jesse says, "Not to you." So it's true; he does.
Oh,
absolutely. Talk about it.
And I thought Hank was making some great arguments there, just talking
so
about how
close.
Much, absolutely, how much he did a number on him, and you know that he could see it. And I think because Hank had said that to him, that allowed Jesse later on in the movie to say that you've been working me. Because now it's not just me that's maybe thinking it. Other people
it's
see
obvious.
It.
And they're pointing
they
it out.
See it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not crazy to think this.
Yeah.
You know? And like, Walt made him kill his first person. He made him murder Gale. Mm-hmm. Made him murder Gale. And then just the children, the collateral damage. he never was supposed to be in this business. He was, you know, from a good family. He was just a weak kid who got mixed up in drugs and then wound up cooking them because what else was he going to do?
Well, yeah, but his parents were no prizes. I mean, let's face it.
Yeah.
Yeah, what was Jesse going to end up doing anyway? I mean, I feel like he had a dark path no matter what. But
yeah, but never, I mean, it, you know, without Walt, yeah, exactly. What, if not for Walt intervening, I mean, he could have. I don't know. There would have been. And let's face it, the redemption he had was Alaska. The look on his face.
Yeah.
Why Alaska?
Alaska could be good. Alaska. I mean, oh my God. He just, please just go
just
to Alaska.
Just go to Alaska.
Get the van.
Yeah, exactly. Go to the van. Get in the van. I was just going, oh God. I felt so happy for him in that moment. So tragic, too. You get the look on his face when he's talking about Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
That there might be a glimmer of hope for him.
No, he just wants to go to Alaska because he can start his whole own math business there in Alaska. It's the wild frontier.
Ruined my fantasy, but thank you, Tim. Bring me back to Earth. So
something I like that Hank and Saul did exactly the same when they walked into the interrogation room is they both turned off the camera. Mm-hmm. So is that Hank, you know, becoming tainted as well?
Well, he was tainted as soon as he walked in. when he was lying to the officers what he was going to say to him.
Right.
So.
All four members of that family have broken bad.
Now, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They're all
Hank
doomed.
Was the last one, but yeah.
Yeah, they're all going to hell for their own reasons.
So I just really love the interrogation scene for that because I honestly thought, I didn't really think that Jesse was going to say something just then, but the arguments that Hank was, and the fact that Hank and he know exactly what it's like to be worked for over a year by this guy.
Yeah, they have so much in common.
Yeah. And so I still think, you know, I said it, I think a couple weeks ago, I even said it last week, I still think that somehow they may end up working together to bring it to a conclusion.
Absolutely. I think that that's happening next episode. I mean, that's a I know
yeah,
we're doing
right.
predictions
right.
later.
We call it.
But even the fact that Hank beat up Jesse.
Yeah.
That is because of Walt.
Right.
Like, the one reason why he hates Hank so much is ultimately because of Walt. And I think that the two of them are going to be joined together in this.
Well, like you said, that his hatred for Hank was stronger until he found out about the Rison and Brooke.
Exactly.
And now his hatred for Walt is stronger. So, you know, this will be interesting.
It's the tipping point.
That's right. That's right. Now he's let's work with Hank. This might be good.
No, what he did say was, let's burn this all down.
That's true.
Let's burn it down.
Whenever we were in the desert and the spider was like walking up to Jesse, did you guys see that as Todd coming for Jesse?
Well, I certainly recalled Todd for me. It also recalled the kid.
The kid with the spider.
With the spider. And also, if you remember, who was it that was talking about? Oh, they were talking about the nanny state. I know we'll get to the Todd and his cohorts, but then they're in the bathroom. They're talking about the nanny state, and they go, "Anytime I see a kid with on a bike with a helmet,
I want to kill him."
And I go, "Oh,
oh my God, that just hit me, Jerry."
Yeah, so that was the thing I remembered from the whole thing because I go, "That's right there," and then the spider and everything just brought all that back. So, we're still talking about Jesse. So he has his redemption his fleeting redemption of Alaska and the glimpse of what that might entail and how he might have a way out of all this, and that gets taken right out of him. Now, we don't know anything about – what was the name of the place? Juan Tapo?
Oh, yeah.
The location where he was to meet the
man. Yeah, which was just a great location. Anybody out there who knows what
Juan Tabo and Osuna,
Osuna
was the name of the intersection.
Yeah,
we can't tell if it's a barrier or a memorial,
but it's
very evocative of a cemetery, an overwhelming presence
what looked like tombstones all over the place.
Totally.
And him in the middle. Well, it's kind of beneath almost. It was kind of great shot.
Beautiful shot.
It's kind of like...
Of course, they're nice classic wides. Go ahead.
It's just, you know, he's so small beneath all of it, it's all crushing down
on his
shoulders.
The weight of it is all bearing on him.
The collateral damage of everything that's happened across these 5 seasons.
The truth of everything and the weight of it.
Totally.
Oh, God, that was just great.
And then he had a way out. You know, that van stopped.
And he could have.
He could have gotten in.
Just get in the damn car.
The vacuum repairman. He was going to give him a new life.
Get him a new filter.
Yeah. For his Hoover.
And I got to say, you know, part of me just is so pissed that he just didn't get in the damn.
Because
you want some sort of life out there.
That's not good TV, though, John.
I know it isn't. But the other part of me loves that he went back because now Walt has a foe to deal with, and that's
fun. Oh, and that scene where Walt goes to get his 38 snub out of the soda machine, which has been frozen because he's left it there for so long. I thought that when he got there, first of all, I love the shot. You know, Skyler's dealing with a customer, and he crazy pulls up super fast, jumps out of the car, running, pauses, catches his himself, breath, and you see the breath come out of his mouth. And then he comes in like everything's fine. Oh,
hey, how's it going?
Oh, yeah. Hey. I thought that he was going to take her aside to let her know what was up. Now, and that we have to get out of here.
Well, do you see how strung out she was already? I mean, the previous scene, he couldn't even get her attention, and then, you know, it took her a while. And then even now, she's giving out the wrong change.
I saw that,
but he knows that she's not all there. I don't think she can't handle this.
Yeah.
I saw her giving out the wrong change because she gave the guy too much money, and that reminded me of Jesse throwing money out the window. Yeah. So I saw it as she was giving away extra money.
Give the money back.
Right. Give it away.
Right. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. And, right, exactly. Part of the laundering process.
Exactly.
That's how we launder money.
Just get rid of some of it.
But they still have an A1 day. So that
have an A1 day.
That's the important part.
Here's
great little shot on
it.
Because you mentioned the gun. I just love the ice coming off of it.
Mm-hmm. And he pops it open, just it crushes, and then it a little bit more cracks as he pops it back in. And he's like, oh, and I forgot a prescription. I thought she would think that there was something wrong.
Yeah. Well,
so
wait, I mean, being the wife of a meth emperor, wouldn't you kind of always think something
I guess
was wrong?
He is an emperor, right?
They call it an empire, so. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, I think your comment of her being strung out was absolutely dead on because, you know, she has to be thinking all the time about, you know, who knows and what, and where am I going to mess up? Where is he going to mess up? What's going to happen to my kids? She's got to have so much going on in her head that the moment he comes in, you either have to be completely in denial or a sociopath like Walt, or just so overwhelmed by everything that you give people fives instead of ones, for example, you know?
Well, and you got to think that the conversation that they had that we didn't see, but, you know, like when she says about the confession, are you sure you want to do this?
Right.
And he says it's the only way.
Right.
What was that conversation? Now, I mean, we can postulate whatever the heck it was, but she's got to think she's the one that's not sure that this is the right way or the only way. She knows that this is if we do this, there's no going back with them either.
But
she's got to know that.
But she's the one who opened that window again. When Walt was on the floor in the last episode and he said, I should just turn myself in, and she's like, that can't happen. There's no way we'll be able to keep the money if you turn yourself in.
Right.
She's the one who put him back on the path of, we can get out of this.
Right. So, but do you think it's the money? Or do you think it's she just wants the family to stay together? What do you think?
I think that if there's any way that her children can grow up without knowing that she was complicit in all of this, she will do it. You know, you look back to the first season, right? Mm-hmm. And she gets mistaken for Marie when she goes to return that tiara that Marie stole. And watching her get out of that, you know, so skillfully and insistently. She is a survivor. She is going to do whatever it takes to protect her and protect her family. Her children mean everything.
But do you think that includes Walt? Is my question. Because obviously, I get the kids.
I think still can a little bit. She's made some level of peace with everything. She let him back in the house. Let the kids back in the house. They're collaborating in this business as if everything is fine.
And she does say to
out,
Hank at the restaurant, "It's not an ongoing situation. It's over. There's nothing to be accomplished."
So, and they are safe.
Yeah. So what do you guys think? Do you think it's about the kids? Is it about the money? Is it about the whole family? What is it? Is she doing?
I think she just wants to keep the family together. It's not about the money anymore. Mm-hmm. She just wants to go back to normal, of course. But this is the first episode again where Walt's lying to her again. Like, it's back in the past. Because before, he'd walk in and she'd be like, what's up? And he would finally tell her. Mm-hmm. And so now that he's not telling her, I think, you know, we see her zoning out in her office. What was she thinking about? Is she coming up with a different plan that she's not going to, you know, tell him about? And if she finds out, you know, Jesse's loose, what's she going to do about it?
I think the only thing she was thinking about was the summit they had and what that did, the repercussions of all that, and the fact that, well, what happens if somebody does see that DVD? Exactly. So anyway, what do you think?
Well, one of the things I wanted to point out was that scene where she's sitting at the desk in the office and Walt comes in, you know, the visual of that. Because you mentioned it while we were watching it. There's, you know, her sitting in this kind of spotlight and him, you know, the shrouded, shadowed
he was
man
only back
coming
lit.
Out
you couldn't
from
even,
the dark.
You didn't see his face. You only saw the form.
Right. You couldn't even identify him if you didn't know.
And that to me, you harken back to I am the danger. Just that he steps into the room, and then all you see is this faceless being that's and the timbre of his voice is we're fine. And I'm going, no, that does not sound fine.
Or even like the way he was framed in the first half of the fifth season when he came to get Skylar out of bed in the second episode of the fifth season. They never showed the top half of his body. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like he was just this big hulking shadow over her, this kind of visual idea of abuse, mm-hmm. that he was this faceless thing controlling her and that she had no power, you know. And she's sitting there alone in the gloom of what she's done with her life. She could have let him go to jail.
Yeah.
He was willing to do it. Mm-hmm. It was her decision to maintain the charade and play this final masterstroke.
But that's the question I'm really posing, is it because she's still in love with him, still loves him, or is it because she just doesn't want her kids to be fatherless? Why does she let him back in? What is
She
it?
Doesn't want to go to jail either.
But he's willing to turn himself in. He's not going to implicate her. She's not going to jail. The deal he would make is, I'll confess everything, you'll get me, you leave my family out. Otherwise, they're not going to get a deal. You know that's a deal with me.
But what kind of life would she have when all this comes out?
To the life she has, I think that's okay.
I don't think so. Walter Jr., the look on Walter Jr.'s face when he realizes this, and there's no way he's not going to know that she was a part of it. He is not dumb. He's not a dumb kid. He knows that everything has been wrong.
Yeah.
He just accepts what he's being told.
But they wouldn't be in danger anymore. Right now, they're still in danger of being killed every day.
I disagree.
Oh, you don't think they'd be in danger?
I think they would continue to be in danger. Here's the
kids?
Thing.
If he goes to jail?
The one thread that has not been picked up so far this season is Gus Fring's Chilean contacts. Mm-hmm. The reason why the cartel did not kill Gus is because he had connections back in Chile that were so dangerous that even the cartel didn't want to touch him.
Okay.
So I think as soon as Walter White is confirmed as Heisenberg, because people know that Heisenberg killed Gus, they will be in danger from whatever Chilean connection that still exists.
Okay.
I think that that's highly possible.
I think the kids are going to forever be in jeopardy.
Okay, then I still I'm not getting an answer from about why she's doing it though.
She's still trying, no matter what. She's fooling herself into thinking it can be a normal family again.
I don't buy for a second that she thinks there's going to be anything normal about the family.
Not normal, but the kids might be able to get out of it with their souls intact. Mm-hmm. There is a way to keep the money that Walt begged her to keep in the last episode and still have these kids get out somehow clean. There's a way for that to happen. She's already damned. She knows that. You can see that on her face in the office. But I think she still believes, hope against hope, that
if she can keep him out of prison, he'll end up dying and it'll be a cancer and
he'll die in six months, sorted details
of his empire.
Yeah, he's already dying. Mm-hmm. Let's just let him die and then I can try to piece together my life and my kids will never know about it. And it will be what Walt wanted and the family will be as intact as it ever was going to be.
Even now that Marie and...
Totally.
Wow.
She'll just come up with some reason why we don't talk to them anymore.
But you just said, Walt Jr. is not an idiot. Is she really going to pull that over on him?
I think she would.
Wow, okay.
You believe your mom.
Maybe, I don't know.
You buy it.
Well, you certainly bought his father today, because that scene went over nicely for...
Oh, yeah.
For Senior.
That's so interesting, the contrast between the two... Walt as doting father scenes.
Right.
But with him and Junior, the tone of his voice was like the most calm I think I've ever heard him. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like talking about it and, you know what, champ? We're going to get through this. Right. And I'm on best meds.
And even the way it was shot, they were sitting down together, when we were out in the desert, they had totally different angle shots on that thing.
And compare that to like the last time they had a real heart to heart, which was when Walt was all drugged out in his apartment in season 3, and he called him Jesse.
Yeah,
as Walter Jr. put him to bed. Mm-hmm. The the scene, if it happens, where Walter Jr. finds out about everything, is going to be so devastating. So devastating to see that play out on his face.
I don't know he's going to find out. I think he might die before then.
You think Walter Jr. is going to die?
Walter Jr.
Walter Jr.
That's cold-blooded there.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't say I wanted it. I said...
You said, all right, well, why would he die? Accident. Since you posed it, who would kill him?
In a car accident, Phil was telling us earlier that there's rumors that, you know, he's doing meth, people said, and he wasn't...
The character, of course.
Yeah, he's in a blue jacket. Uh-huh. So you never know.
Okay. All right.
It's possible.
Wait a minute. You posed that he would find out everything. Who's going to tell him? How is he going to find out?
If Walt gets caught, he finds out that way. Mm-hmm. If Hank finally loses it and snaps, finds out that way. Or what if it's not Walt who comes home first to find Jesse throwing gasoline all over his house?
Wow.
And it's Walter Jr. What about that? What about that, Jesse. John Comerford? Can you handle that?
I think that'd be fun.
Okay, you know what I was thinking, and this is just something to bring up. What if Walt Jr. is asleep in the house right now?
Mm. Wow. Or Baby Holly.
But she can't be alone there. But Walt Jr. could be alone there, and Jesse kills his son.
Oh, man. Ouch. Good terror.
And we have to wait a week to find out if that's what happened, Tamara Berg. That is seriously
brilliant.
That could happen.
Sorry, I am flipping out. Bad dreams now.
Jesse is a good guy, and if he was going to shoot someone, he would have shot Saul, and he is not going to kill.
No,
he's not doing it on purpose. He's just lighting the house on fire out of rage.
Walt Jr. is asleep in his bed.
Again, because of Walt.
But we know that's not going to happen because we saw the flash forward and the house was definitely like boarded up, but it wasn't burnt down.
Well, there was damage. There was interior damage.
There could be smoke damage, I guess.
It could be put out before it spreads to everything.
He doesn't move very quickly, if you'll remember. He has crutches. I'm just saying, that was what flashed on me.
And that would be wonderful.
As it hit me, I just thought, terrifying and awful and so Vince Gilligan.
Wow. John, you're just like, that'd be wonderful.
A great story point.
It is. It's a great story. I love it.
Because once Walter Jr. is dead, any hope of the family, which is the thing that Walt says he's been working towards this whole time, is all over.
It all falls apart.
And there's nothing left but sheer survival. War.
Just the irony of it that, you know, Walt poisoned Brooke, and now, and if in his rage, Jesse kills Walt Jr.
Brock.
Did I say what I said?
You said Brooke.
Beg your pardon, Brock.
Changing his sex.
Made his gender.
Well, sorry about that.
So we can do that here at AfterBuzz. Yeah,
too messed up.
We're really progressive here. Brock can be whoever he wants to be.
That's right. I made no judgment of it.
Yeah.
So when is Jesse going to find out about Jane?
Well, that's the thing. The only way that he could is if Walt tells him. Who knows? And unless Jesse makes some serious logical leaps, I don't know how he would ever pin it back to Walt, because I don't know that he knows that Walt was in the apartment when Jane died.
Yeah.
So unless he somehow filters it back to what Walt was saying in Fly in season three, where he almost told him, I don't know that there's any way he'd ever find out.
Yeah, I don't think he will. But does he even need to? I mean, he already knows so much already.
I wonder if Walt would brag to him about it with a gun to his head.
Or taunt him.
Yeah. I can see it happening.
Just to get in his head?
Or just to get in his head to shake him off his game or to make him fire, because I don't know. I don't know why.
Prove to him how powerful he is.
His ego. I am the one who knocks. I am the danger.
Exactly.
You know what I can do? You think that's
tread
bad?
Lightly.
Yeah.
I killed your girlfriend.
I let her die. I let her die because you're weak and you're an addict.
Right?
Yeah. I could totally see that happen.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, me too.
I thought his best manipulation was this show. I mean, we've always seen him do it, but he was manipulating from from the beginning to the end.
I feel like the audience really wants Jesse to know about Jane, so I feel like they might put it there in some form because mm-hmm. the audience wants
right,
Jesse to know
about it. Because it's a loose end that's not tied mm-hmm. up.
Yeah. And so is the Chilean thing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And Vince Gilligan and anyone who's spoken out from the writer's staff says you will be satisfied with this season. Every thread is tied up.
Okay.
Every thread is tied up by the end of the show.
All right. Well, speaking of that thread, let's go to the Todd and his cohorts.
Yes.
Being back in the
Todd
game, so
and
to
his
speak.
Lovely relative.
So what is...
Brothers.
Yeah.
What is so, the point of him, like, you know, rehashing what happened? Is he getting them excited to go on this journey again with him?
He's
what,
bragging.
Telling the story? Yeah. I think
he's
it also
totally
shows
bragging.
How much he admires... Walt.
The legend.
Mr.
Yes.
White,
of
excuse me, Mr. White.
Mr. White.
Yeah.
There was such a, mm-hmm. it was so, the way he's so perfect.
It's like it's the mm-hmm. biggest train heist in history in terms of, you know, the amount of money that could be made.
Yeah. And he learned how to cook from the guy. And I mean, I think he just really admires him.
The dude's a god, you know?
Yeah.
But do you think that this new lab is going to take off, or do you think he's going to start another fire?
Well, who knows? But I don't think he's going to start another fire just because, you know, I don't see how that would propel the story. It would be better if he was actually started getting good at it so they could rise in power or something. Or maybe I don't know. I honestly don't have a good idea on that one.
What if it's so similar that they could pin Heisenberg on Todd?
Ooh. Well, I don't know. Do you think that could happen, or is he too young?
I was
going to
say it's tough.
Impossible.
He doesn't have a lot of gravitas to fulfill Heisenberg.
Yeah. I don't think he's smart enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To be able to pull it all off.
Well, they're just going to see the blue meth, though, something similar coming up,
true.
And perhaps you know Hank will say, you know, what are you doing? You're cooking again, mm-hmm. and then people.
And if that
think,
tank did have all that methylene in it, I mean, they're certainly starting off with the good stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, but that's true. They told Hank, this is all in the past, mm-hmm. this is over. But then when Heisenberg's blue mm-hmm. shows up on the streets again.
And why else would they be coming back into New Mexico? So, I mean, that could very well be.
Yeah.
Or that may be the thing that Walt pins it all on, yeah. sure. I don't know if anybody believes. Go ahead.
But here's what I'm thinking. It's just, if Todd does start another fire and the lab goes up mm-hmm. in flames, his cousins, his connections, they met Mr. White.
Yeah.
They could find him. They could find him, potentially. Mm-hmm. Track down Vominos Pest. You know, how did they buy that? Lead them to Saul.
Sure.
Point a gun to Saul's head. Saul leads them to Mr.
Come on.
White.
He's
they
not
chain
gonna
him
say
to
anything?
A, they chain him to a lab in that RV underground.
Yeah.
And just go to town. Just cook till you drop, Mr. White. It's possible.
It is, except, you know, we've already seen 6 months.
I
mean,
did Walt?
Sorry, man.
No, it's okay. You guys, you don't have to treat me with like, you know, tender gloves.
You're not feeling well.
I have so many dreams, and there's so few episodes left.
Five left.
That's not enough.
We only have five.
God damn it.
I'm crying for Matt now.
I'm not ready. I'm not ready to say goodbye.
Someone was telling me today that they haven't watched Breaking Bad at all. And I was like, I'm so jealous of you to be able to watch all of these seasons in a row.
Yeah.
Can you even imagine?
Yeah, there's always that, Matt. You can go back.
We can erase it.
Yeah, do we have the technology?
We do hear it after
us. You can make me better. You can make
me
stronger.
Thank you, Akamai technology.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So why did Walt not listen to this voicemail yet? Like, why is he ignoring it?
I'm sure he certainly had bigger things to deal with at the moment. So and what was he going to do about it?
Well, here's the thing. Does Walt still have a second cell phone? What number did Todd even call?
I don't know.
Why would
he still have that?
One.
Why would he still have that phone if he's out of the business, so to speak?
Yeah.
Right.
So,
I don't know.
Oh, well, remember Saul made him take the battery out of that other phone.
Yeah.
So maybe that was the phone that Todd had the number to.
Maybe.
The point is why you know he's not. Mm-hmm. Except for the one time we saw him quickly cleaning up his mess last season, where he had to get rid of a whole bunch of things. He normally doesn't hang on to things like that. He does get rid of them. Mm-hmm. So why would he hang on to a phone if he's out of the business?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. But then why didn't Todd get an error message
right.
yeah, exactly.
when he called it?
Yeah.
And out of order.
So he still has it, but so he has it for a reason.
Because
it's not likely that you would forget, would it?
No. And at a time like this, if he gets a voicemail, he's got to check it.
Yeah.
Because you can't leave any stone unturned. He's too detail-oriented.
Yeah, and there was so much in that message. There's Declan. It's messy. I mean, there's so much in that message
for him. So much evidence is in that message.
Yeah, exactly.
When do you think Hank gets this message?
Or what?
Ooh, wow.
Hank. What if Hank got his hands on this message? That's enough. I feel like that could be enough to at
but
least
what,
get
what,
something
what,
going.
What evidence is there? I mean, it's just all supposition. Okay, Declan, so we know who Declan is, but there's nothing that really implicates him. There's a
messy
new management.
Change in management, so you may want to call me about
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Hey, you know, I know you're into your retirement, but, you know.
Yeah.
Right. But if he was to look into Todd and meet Todd's connections, who have connections to the 10 prison murders.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the termite.
Exactly. But, right. Just linking Walt to the prison murders mm-hmm. would be enough. At the very least, he could get him in jail for the murders, mm-hmm. if he could somehow connect him to the murders.
But he didn't do it. We can still pin it on Todd.
He organized the murders.
Yeah, no, he does, but who knows
right.
how far
you're
he's
right.
insulated
yeah,
himself.
Yeah, that's a little, I think that's a bit too far.
Kristen, I would not be surprised if Todd takes the fall for everything.
He might want to, actually.
His guy.
Because he'll be...
Or his guy.
A legend, like Mr.
Legend,
White.
Yeah.
But it might be the guy that paid for the meal. I mean, that may be the one they're going to pin it on.
His uncle.
His uncle who said, all right, let's get cooking. Because Walt's just the cooker. He's not,
make some
he's
money.
Not the,
yeah, because
he's
why
not
did,
the le- head of the organization.
Why did we get that whole check scene? And what was with the bloody tissue in the toilet? We were getting, lots of, odd scenes with them.
I think the bloody tissue was just a memory of what they had
just
come
where they come from.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what about the check scene with the waiter? I was just with the waitress.
I couldn't figure out if she was just terrified of them.
Yeah, I think so.
Because,
I think,
you know,
yeah, because she'd seen their tattoos.
Their
neck and stuff like that. I think that's what that was for.
Okay.
Just and of course, they shut up when she came around and waited.
So she knew something was fishy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think all that was just building the tension. Remember, I think as soon as we cut into the title sequence, you were already tense.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that was just did a lot of good building of tension.
Yeah, and. We have so much plot to deal with our core characters that we're dealing with this side plot, which is going to come back in a huge way, obviously, in kind of glancing blows. We're setting up who these people are. You know, they're shady. They're into heavier stuff. And, the way that they're handling the waitress shows that they're careful, but they're also, these are bad guys.
Yeah.
The way they're leering at the waitress as she walks away.
But they're also awestruck by his story. I mean, you can see that's a A1 outfit or whatever he called them. I can't remember what the...
It's just like Hooper.
Exactly, yeah. So they were awed by this.
Yeah.
So I think that because of that and because, first of all, they were careful, but not so careful. They're not just talking about this thing in a diner. I'm going, oh, my God.
And the blood on their shoes, they're messy.
That's right. They miss things.
Oh,
They miss things.
Mm-hmm. So that is true.
And I thought the blood on the what was weirder than the blood on the – well, it wasn't weirder, but it was a little odd. He comes up from – he's just done his business at the urinal. He comes out and he needs to get a tissue. He needs to get a
Paper towel,
thank you. And he licks his finger to get the tissue.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
It calls back to Mike earlier in the season. Mike, mm-hmm. when Walt's talking about Todd's prison connections, or Todd brings up his prison connections, Mike is like, you don't know these guys. You don't know if they're professionals. This guy is not a professional. He is a loose cannon. I say we shut him up after the kid incident, so... These guys, you're right. They are not professionals.
No. I mean,
they're just
by evidence
for
of Todd,
quick money.
Who burned up his third cook.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're not.
A
so
trail there's,
they'll
of
be a
evidence
mistake.
Being
I mean,
left
but
behind.
They're good enough where they could get Declan.
Yeah.
With the help of Lydia. So, there's something to him to be scared about.
Yeah. Dangerous, but not detail-oriented.
Yeah, exactly. So. All right. Well, let's get on to our news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Connecticut residents reacted in a panic last week when the cable went out during Breaking Bad, right in the middle of the episode.
Whoa. Ouch.
And several of them called 911 to find out what was going on.
Seriously, 911?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
There is
hello,
it's 911. Audio tape.
What's your emergency? My cable's out. Breaking Bad is on.
That's pretty much what it is.
Oh
my cable's
God.
Out and Breaking Bad. Is this a life-threatening emergency? No, but Breaking – I'm missing Breaking Bad.
That's a life-threatening emergency. Hey, there have been domestic disputes over less. There have been murders over less.
Indeed. The cable eventually came back on in the small town in Connecticut. Serious story here. AMC has stopped referring visitors to the National Cancer Coalition website after a story from the Center for Investigative Reporting called the charity one of America's worst.
Whoa.
AMC had created a referral in 2009 at SaveWalterWhite.com, which was the website that Walt Jr. set up to raise funds for his father. They created a referral so that viewers could contribute to a legitimate charity. And as of October 2012, viewers had contributed $125,000 to the charity.
Oh, wow.
But
it's almost enough to pay off.
That's the exact amount.
Or buy methylamine.
The vacuum cleaner repairman was $122.
That, right, exactly. Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
The Center for Investigative Reporting ranked the National Cancer Coalition number 21 on its America's Worst list. And said that they had more than $41 million in revenue, but only spent under $43,000 in direct cash aid.
Wow.
Let me see. Let me do the quick math on
that.
That's not a lot.
National Cancer Coalition did not respond immediately, so we don't have an answer.
Okay. And let's get into our last one.
Right. So the big story this week was Anna Gunn, who plays Skyler White on the show Breaking Bad, wrote an op-ed in New York Times called "I Have a Character Issue." And there's been conversation about this all over the web this week because...
In response to all the email.
Right. So what happened is her character had become a flashpoint for many people's feelings, she said, about strong, submissive, and ill-treated women. And there were Facebook pages for I Hate Skyler White. Yeah. Tens of thousands of people have liked a similar Facebook page that can't be named because it has profanity in it. And then she was really disturbed to find out that Skyler started to drop out of the conversation, and people transferred their negative feelings toward Anna Gunn herself. And someone actually posted, "Could someone tell me where I can find Anna Gunn so I can kill her?"
Jesus. I know, this is where I go. The 911 call is funny, but I still go, people, it's a TV show. Why are you calling 911?
Yeah.
And now we have angry viewers taking on a character or making them so, I don't know, real that the spillover of their vitriol is shot right out at Anna Gunn.
But the fact that they have this vitriol at all, you know, people are like, oh, she's a harpy. She's, you know, she's getting in the way of the fun. She's actively dealing with a terrible situation in I would say a pretty realistic layered way. She's not perfect, but she's dealing with a monster of a person who she has children with, who's endangered all of them in the process, and is a criminal, is a murderer.
And they seem to be angry with her because she hasn't caved in, that she stood up to him and been in his way and been his equal, and they're angry for this thing instead of her just playing the submissive wife. First of all, I'm just shocked at that to begin with. But to go after the actress for doing a really good job.
Yeah. I mean, it's great entertainment as well, her being, you know, someone, another foe against him.
Right.
And I just really don't understand how anyone could make these death threats, but there's always going to be that one person at their computer who doesn't leave their house and really lives within the world of Breaking Bad. They're always going to have something bad to say about whatever they watch.
But it seems that it's gone beyond that because it's come into this mob mentality. People want to go on there and just spew hatred for the character. And then, let's take it a step further. And I just go, okay, that's crazy.
Yeah, but you take it and then... What does that say about the state of female characters on TV and in art?
They can only be a certain way, otherwise...
Well, but the problem is that you can't please everyone. There's always going to be someone who dislikes what you're doing, you know, on some level. So part of the point of making art is that you cause conversation
to
occur.
Here's the thing. Walter White has killed people. He's had other people killed like crazy.
Yeah.
He's done horrible things. And I don't really see a lot of websites out there that say kill Walter White.
Yeah.
And by
or
the way, let's
Bryan
get Bryan Cranston too while we're at it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I don't see that.
And she makes a really strong point of if the genders were flipped, would the reaction be the same? And I don't think it would.
I don't think so either.
No. No.
Mm-mm.
You certainly wouldn't be calling him a harpy.
Yeah.
No.
It's saddening.
But the fact that she might be an equal to him is what people are
I think that's what scares
with.
People.
Yeah. I will tweet out the link to this article because it's really interesting to read in her own words. And also, I recommend that people read the comments after the article because she gets a lot of support and you know, love from fans, which I think is really a good thing to see.
She had to get and get security and everything to protect herself. And I just go, wow.
Yeah, it's a really sad state of affairs.
It's a TV show.
Yeah.
It's a really good
TV show. It's really good.
But go outside. Play.
Exactly.
Do something else in your life.
Go have a cup of tea with a friend.
All right. All right, let's get into our predictions.
Oh, good heavens.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Well, I'm going to stay with my theme that Hank and Jesse are going to work it together somehow. I don't know how, but obviously now that Jesse's found out about the ricin and how Walt has done to him, he's going to be working with Hank in some fashion.
I want to just continue. I mean, I am going to actually predict, possibly, that that Walter Jr. is in the house.
Wow, that's a good one. I know you already said it, but
strong.
I love it. It's bold.
The other thing is I think that Skyler is going to really come alive or unhinged, depending on how you want to look at it, in the next few episodes. I think she's going to...
Is she
going to
break?
I think she's going to lose it.
Okay.
I don't really have specifics, but I just feel like, you know, that image of her sitting in the office and staring off into space and the reality and gravity of everything, and it just gets heavier and heavier, and I think she's going to go bonkers.
That's interesting, because, you know, you'd think that, you know, the fact that she walked into the pool and then being comatose on the bed, you'd think that she's already been through so much that this wouldn't make her break, but you can also see it going the other way.
Sure.
Because it's so close to the end, and everything is going to fall, especially if what you say is true with Walt Jr.
Yeah.
I think that if Skyler walks in on Jesse, you know, putting all this gasoline in their house, and if she does have a child nearby or not, she is going to react like that, like any mother bear would. And I think, you know, she's going to go after Jesse. I think Walt Jr. is going to die in a car crash, and I think Hank might get fired.
Okay.
All right.
Wow. Okay.
I think it's entirely plausible that Walter Jr. is in the house. I do think everything's headed for a collision. I just keep going back to the submachine gun, or the machine gun rather, not even sub, in Walt's truck in the flash forward, and I'm just like, it's either the Chileans or it's the Czech. It's one or the other, and somehow this is all going to spill over when this Todd operation blows up.
Yeah, I think this white supremacist is going to get slaughtered.
Oh, totally.
Oh, yeah.
They're all
They will die.
Oh, yeah.
A bloody ugly death.
All right. Any last words from everybody?
Do you want to know where you can find us?
After the last words, and then we'll talk about where they can find
us. I don't have any last
words. Okay, good. Where are they going to find you, Matt?
Okay, you can find me on Twitter, @MattLieberman. That's MattLieberman. And you can also find me here on AfterBuzz TV on the Low Winter Sun and Under the Dome after shows.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I'm Kristen Snyder. You can Bing my blog, Cinematic Escape, or you can follow me on Twitter, @CinematicEscape.
You can find me on Twitter @TamaraBerg, TamaraBerg, and my website is TamaraCentral.com.
You can't follow me anywhere, but you can find me at SerialBuddies.com. The movie's out. It's available. Please check it out, and we will talk to you next time.
Yeah.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.